April 20th, 2010.
Okay, we missed you here.
For sure.
I had the tapes and all this, but first of all, I couldn't ask any questions.
Okay.
And secondly, I believe that at one time you were there. I didn't know. I would have come to see you.
Yes. I was there just for a few hours.
Nobody knew. Nobody told me.
Yeah. I spoke for Chinuch Atzmai, fundraiser.
Sorry?
I spoke for Chinuch Atzmai.
Oh.
I gave a shiur for an hour, and then I spoke for 10 minutes.
I'm looking for Bixon.
The last few weeks we have begun Perek Egla Rufa. Thank you very much. Egla Rufa is a din in the Chumash. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. If you find a Jewish body murdered, lo noda mihi kohu, nobody knows who the murderer was. If you have two witnesses, or even eid echad, or even if the eid echad is not an eid kosher, even an eid fossil, if you have an eid echad who knows who the murderer was, even though eid echad is not sufficient to give the death penalty, but that's called noda mihi kohu. So then there's no din of egla rufa. That's what leads the Rambam and the Mor Devuchim to write. We mentioned, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, that the whole idea, what's the idea behind the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, to make a big tararam, to make a public, arouse public consciousness that the police want to find out who the murderer is. So you have this big mitzvah and you get everybody from all the communities to participate, and Bezin participates in the hope that someone's going to come up and give information to the police and they'll find the murderer. So the din is in the Chumash, you have to measure to the closest cities, and the city that's the closest has to bring an Egla Rufa. And then the Mishnah is going to go through more details.
But the same applied also when we found somebody who died natural causes.
No, only a murdered. Only a murder. Only applies a murder. Cholo means murdered. No. So the Mishnah is medaik every word in the Pasuk. It says, Ki motza cholo bo adoma. So the Mishnah says, Cholol means that he was murdered, they cut off his head, they killed him, Volot Chanuk, let's say he was choked to death. Also murdered. So the Mishnah says the din doesn't apply there. And then it says, Dimtzod, here the Mishnah on, what daf is it? Memdalar on the base is the Mishnah. The first Mishnah in the Perek. So the Mishnah says, Nimtza Tomun Bagal. Let's say they find a murdered dead body, but he's not on top of the ground, he's not on the surface. They buried him in the cemetery. Or they buried him under a pile of stones. So the din doesn't apply. Nimtza Tomun Bagal doesn't apply. What if Toli Be'ilam? What if they find a murdered body hidden, hanging on a tree? It's the exact same thing. What? No, it doesn't apply. Xeris HaKosu. Tzof Al Pnei HaMayim. They find the dead body floating in the river. Also doesn't apply. Because the pasuk says, "Ki matzah chol bo adoma v'leitamun bagal." Then it says, "Noifel al pnei asad." The noifel v'leitalibin. And noifel means it should be on the ground, not suspended in the tree. And the pasuk says, "Basad noifel basad v'leitzaf al pnei amayim." If he's floating on the river, nit agzeres hakosu. So that's what we got up to last week. We left off over here, Tana Rabbanan, a memhei on the base. About 15 lines from the top, it says, Tana Rabbanan has a tiny letter Aleph there. The Aleph tells you where the Rambam quotes this din in the Gemara. So it says, Tana Rabbanan, it says in the Braisa, Cholol v'lo chanuk. If he's on Mem Heyom and Beis, about 15 lines from the top. So it says, Tana Rabbanan, Cholol means a person was murdered, v'lo chanuk. If he was choked to death and he didn't, there was no bleeding, there's also murdered. Also, you want to find out who the murder was. Agzeres HaKosov, that the mitzvah of Egla Rufa doesn't apply. Then it says also, Cholol means you find a dead body. What if they discover the man when he's in the throes of death? Obviously, somebody killed him and he's in the process of dying, but he didn't die yet. Also, Agzeres HaKosov, that the mitzvah of Egla Rufa doesn't apply. Veloy Mefarpe. Vashtei baita bo adoma, the din only applies if you find the dead body, the murdered body bo adoma, on the surface of above the ground, velo tomen bagal. If he was buried under, the murderer buried him in the cemetery, they buried him under a pile of rocks or whatever, the din doesn't apply. Neifer velo tole be'ilan, if you find the murdered body on the tree, he's not on the ground. Echadnish, vasada velo tzof apnei amayim. So the Braisa repeats all of the dinim in the Mishnah and adds on two more. Chanuk, the din doesn't apply if he was choked to death, and Mefarper, the din doesn't apply. Then the Braisa quotes, Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar Amar, the whole purpose of Egla Rufa is to find the murderer. So what's the difference? Whether he's buried in the ground, he's hanging on a tree, he's floating on the river, whatever the case is. You find a murdered person, you have to bring an Egla Rufa. Rabbi Elazar Amar Bekulam, if they find the dead body, orphim. So Rashi writes, what exactly is Rabbi Elazar disagreeing? Bekulam, you have the Rashi on, both columns are Rashi. Both columns on the right column, about 10 lines from the top. Rashi dimra mascha bekulam, afilo mefarper. Rabbi Elazar says, even if you find the man before he actually dies, he's in the process of dying, and there's nothing we can do about it. So also he was murdered. And you have to find the murderer, even if he's tzav floating on the river, tom and tali, all the cases, there's a din of Egla Rufa. Rav Elazar doesn't hold from these diukim. Yom Adaik and the Pasuk, that the mitzvah of Egla Rufa only applies under such conditions. He says, it doesn't make sense. Zil basa taima, the whole purpose of the mitzvah is to find out who the murderer is. So we want to find the murderer here also.
The Rambam would be like Rav Elazar.
Well, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nebuchim, he's going to try to give tamei ha-mitzvahs reasons. But he says, don't hold me responsible to find Tamei HaMitzvahs, so all the details of the dinim. He thinks we can only figure out a tam for the general overall mitzvah. Here you have details. The idea of Egla Rufa is in order to discover who the murderer is, but then we don't understand these details. Why is it that if he's buried under a pile of stones, and why is it that if he's floating on the river, it doesn't apply? So the Rambam says he doesn't know how to figure out details. So the tam... Rav Elazar sounds better according to the Rambam. But even the Chachamim, the Rambam thinks it's still a reason for the mitzvah. Also, the Gemara says Chanuk, he doesn't disagree. Tanya, that's how the Braisa continues. Tanya, the Braisa continues. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar lo le Rav Elazar. They asked the Kashan, Rav Elazar, if you're disagreeing on the four cases, on the Mefarper, who were the four cases? Mefarper means in the throes of death. He didn't die yet. In Sof, floating on the river, and Tomun on the Regal, and Tolui on the tree. If you disagree on those four cases, bottom line, you found a murdered person, so you want to find out who the murderer is, so you do Egla Rufa. Don't you agree, Iyat HaMoida, don't you yourself, Rav Elazar, don't you admit, Shimhoi Chanuk, if he was choked to death, She'ein Orphim, if you find the person who was choked to death, there's no din of Egla Rufa. Alma, what do you see? You'd medaik every word in the pasuk. The pasuk says chalal. Alma chalav lechanuk. So achanami, just like you medaik that word, be medaik all the other words also. Achanami zog ba'dama v'leitom bagal neifu v'leitol be'ilam basar v'leitol gamemaim. Give all the other drushes as well. Everything amarav Rav Elazar. What does Rav Elazar hold? No, chalal you are medaik because that word is repeated so many times in the parsha. Chalal you say riksiv. It keeps on saying the word cholol many times. So that means cholol v'loy mefarper. No, cholol v'lo chanuk. If he was choked to death, then Rav Elazar is masking that the mitzvah of Egla Rufa doesn't apply. But all the others, we only have one lashon to be medayik, so that he thinks that it's not right to be medayik over there. He thinks that the mitzvah applies even in such a case.
In terms of mefarper, he can die anyway. So let him die, then you have to be Egla Rufa.
Yes, the Gemara says, no, since when we discovered him, when the innocent people discovered the person, he's not yet dead. So even after he dies, there's no din of Egla Rufa. Yeah. If at the moment of discovering of the body, he's still alive, even though someone obviously did a job on him, so ois Egla Rufa. Yeah.
What's Rashi saying?
Chol Yisarek Siv. Rashi is quoting the Pesuk, Makrov Malacholol, Vod Chalolam Tuva. It says the word Cholol quite a few times. The Medrash to teach us this din, everybody's Cholol, Davka Loi Chanuk, that if he was choked to death, even Rav Elazar agrees with the Chachamim that the mitzvah of Egla Rufa does not apply.
Hakrovim is not a part of the Pesuk.
Hakrovim Malacholol, yeah. It says, V'yotzis Genecha B'Shevtecha, They should. He's just quoting the pasuk. Yeah. Then the Mishnah has the din. The mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. You have to measure to cities in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, what if the murdered person is samach l'svar? He's right near the border. No, who killed him near the border? One of the terrorists. One of the goyish infiltrators came and they killed him. Oh, the closest city is in Ir Sheruba Akum. True, the closest city has a bezdin, has Yiddish people living there. There is a bezdin. But still, the overwhelming majority of the population are Nochrim. So you go Basarab, you assume he was probably killed by a Nochri. So if it's in those two cases, the dead body is Samach Lesfar near the border, or the Yeshiruba Akum, so then the Mishnah says you don't bring an Egel Arufa. So the Gemara says, why? The Chsiv Ki Motzei, if it happens, B'mikre, you find the person was murdered, Prat L'motzei. But if you find he was murdered, and it's obvious it seems he was killed by a Nochri, you always find dead bodies near the border. That's where it's dangerous to go because the terrorists cross over the border. On Samach Lir Sheruba Akum, so then there's no din of Egla Rufa. Ola Ir Sheim Ba Bezdin, the Mishnah has, if you find a person, you find a dead body, Bez Nagodol has to send three of the five representatives, and they measure to the different cities. So if the closest city is in Ir Sheim Ba Bezdin, so they don't bring an Egla Rufa. Morris says, how do you know? Why? The Bina Ziknehu Ir Veleka, the Pasuk says, the Ziknehu Ir have to recite, Yadena Lo Shavcha Sadam Azaveh Nena Lo Ro. So if you don't have a Bezdin, so there's no Ziknehu Ir. Ziknehu doesn't mean the old folks over age 70 or over age 90. Ziknehu Ir doesn't mean Talmid Chacham, it means a Bezdin. What kind of a Bezdin is it? So that's what we mentioned a few times, the Shev Shmaitze, which is a Sefer of Pilpulim and Roiv and Chazok and Sex Fake and all kinds of highfalutin topics. So he has a little comment on this. It's negeya to his highfalutin Torah. So he points out there's a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. How much of a bezna? Bezna of 3 or bezna of 23? So he says he would have said a bezna of 23 because the Rambam writes in the Mor and the Vuchim the whole purpose of the whole mitzvah of Egla Rufa is in order that they should be able to discover who the murderer is and give him the death penalty. So for that you need a bezna of 23. But he points out that other Rishonim say, no, a bezna of 3 is enough. Even a bezna of 3 can't be dandin in the fashas. So that's a machlokes, is how much of a bezna do you need? So then the Mishnah says, the Mishnah sounds like it has the exact same din written twice. It says, Ir Sheim Ba Bezdin doesn't bring an Egla Rufa. Then it says, you only measure to a city Sheyesh Ba Bezdin. So Frank Bigamar, that's exactly the same thing. What are you going to measure to a city that doesn't have a bezin? So they can't bring an Egla Rufa. So repeat, in the Mishnah, Mem Dalin Amid Beis, the last two lines in the Mishnah are repeating. Nimtz of Samach Liyah Sheim a bezin lo ha yu orfim, ein boid in the Mele Liyah Sheish ba bezin. So repeat, they're the same things as Mar says. No, it's not a repeat. Let's say there are four cities in the neighborhood. So we see the closest city is a near Sheim ba bezin. So the Mishnah says they don't bring an Egla Rufa. But that's the closest city. So I would have said goodbye. There's no mitzvah of Egla Rufa. Finished. So the Mishnah says, no. If he's nimtza samach le'ir, she'im abezdin, so you consider it as if that city didn't exist. And you measure to the other cities that do have a bezdin, and the closest city that has the bezdin brings Egla Rufa, even though it doesn't really make sense. The whole idea of Karayv is to establish which city the murderer probably came from. That's how the Gemara says in Baba Basra, and of Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, that the idea of Korav is Mevarer. Korav is Mevarer, where it came from. The Gemara there has a whole discussion. I think we spoke about it. There are Jewish farmers who make wine, who have vineyards, and they manufacture wine, and there are Nochrim who manufacture wine. So let's say I find a barrel of wine, and it has no label. I don't know whether it's kosher wine or trefa wine, whether it's Tam Yenam or kosher wine. So the Gemara says in Bava Basra, if the closest vineyard, and they manufacture the wine on their premises, in their farm. So if the closest vineyard is the kosher vineyard, so you go Basar Karav and you assume that it came from the kosher one. So this whole idea that Karav is Mevara, where it came from here, so the Gemara says it's based on this Pasuk. You measure which city is the closest, you assume the murderer came from the closest city. And that's why that city, the whole city needs a kapara. That's why you want to make a whole tumul. to try to get the people from that city to raise their consciousness, someone should step forward and give us information. So this din is a strange din. The closest city is in Yerushalayim or Bezdin. So you ignore that city and you measure to the other cities, and whichever is the closest city from those that have a Bezdin brings Egel Arufa, even though it's not Mestaba that the murderer came from that city. There's a different city that's closest. So the Gemara says, Farfan, that's the din. That's what the Gemara asks. Isn't the last line in the Mishnah repeat of the previous line? Emoidin me Yerushalayim or Bezdin. Pshita came in the town of Yerushalayim or Bezdin. Irshem Bezdin doesn't bring an Egel Arufa. Obviously, you only measure to the cities that have a Bezdin. How come Ashmalon Kiritanya? Minayin, how do I know from the Chumash? You don't just say, no Egel Arufa, finished. No, you ignore that city. You measure to the other cities that do have a Bezdin. You're going to tell me that a faraway city brings the Egel Arufa. The closest city does not bring the Egel Arufa. There's a different city further away, but the different city further away has a Bezdin. So that's what the Brisa says. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. Even though it doesn't make sense. So it's a Shvera Din. We don't understand. Right. Right. That's how the Gemara says if you have Roiv and Karoiv. Let's say there are two vineyards. So the Goyish vineyard manufactures 10 times as much wine as the Jewish vineyard. And the barrel of wine that I found without any label is closer to the Jewish vineyard than to the Goyish vineyard. But the Goyish vineyard manufactures 10 times as much. So the Gemara says if you have Roiv versus Karoiv, Halocha HaRoiv. So the Roiv is a better birur than the Karoiv. So we assume that it must have come from the Trefa vineyard. So the Gemara asked that Kasha. So how does it, what does it help if you measure to the closest cities? And the closest city brings an Egel Arufa. What if the city that's further away has 10 times as much population? So the Irak Roiva still brings an Egel Arufa. So the Gemara says, no, we'll not bring an Egel Arufa. So where are you left? So what is the din? So the Rambam says, the largest city brings Egel Arufa. That's a shot, but it doesn't say that in Pasuk. So that's what we mentioned. The Menachas Chinuch was all excited that the Sefer Tosis Rid, it was a Balatosis who lived in Italy. The Tosis Rid was published during his lifetime, and the Tosis Rid writes on that Gemara and Bava Basra that nobody brings the Egel Arufa. It has to be Kroivo, but if you have Roiv Karov, Holcha Machar HaRoiv, they cancel the din on the Kroivo, but not that the ear HaRechoika brings the Egel Arufa. The ear that has the Roiv doesn't bring, nobody brings the Egel Arufa. The ear HaKroivo doesn't bring because Roiv Karov, the Roiv is a better beer. And the ear that has the Roiv doesn't bring because you have to measure. If you can't do Medita, it's not the closest city.
What's he doing with the Gemara? What is he doing with the Gemara?
No, he interprets the Gemara means Roiv Karoiv, Holchem Acher HaRoiv. If you're determining a barrel of wine, is it from this vineyard, that vineyard? So the Roiv is a better beer than the Karoiv. So the same over here. If you have different cities, one city has a much bigger population than the other, and the other city that has a smaller population is closer, so then Roiv Karoiv, it nullifies, it cancels the Chiyuv Egel Arufa from the Karoiv, because the Irak Roiv, there's no Birur at all that the murderer came from that city. The Birur is that the murderer must have come from the larger city, but it's Exeris HaKosov, you only bring if it's Kroiv. The Bez Nagadol has to send out Rabbanim representatives, and they have to do the measurement. So here the measurement, you have to have Karoiv in both ways. It has to be Karoiv, number one, and number two, has to be that it proves, it demonstrates that the murderer came from that city.
How close is the city that it has the Roiv? There's always a city that has Roiv someplace.
Right. So the Gemara asked Akasha, there's Ruba di Alma. There's Ruba di Alma. Whatever you find the person, there are tourists. And the whole din of Egel Arufa is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, but there are tourists traveling all over Eretz Yisrael. And for the Gemara, B'Yoshev is Bein Aharim. So it sounds like the only time you have an Egel Arufa is if the murdered person was found in a location where there ain't no one's touring over there. In some little village somewhere, not in the big cities, not near Tel Aviv or the big cities where all the tourists go. Some little place where the tourists don't go. So you don't have the Ruba di Alma. That's a difficulty. The Rambam doesn't quote that answer, B'Yoshev is Bein Aharim. So that's what they all ask on the Hashmatos HaRambam. Why did the Rambam leave out that din? The Rambam writes, if you have two cities, Roiv Karoiv, So the ripe city brings the Egel Arufa. Then the Gemara asks, well, Lezel Basa Ruba Di Alma. The Ruba said, why don't you attribute, why don't you assume that the murder must have come from one of the tourists? There are more tourists traveling in Eretz Yisrael than the whole population of the city that's the Kreva. So the Gemara says, you're right, they only bring an Egel Arufa if the location is Yoshev is Bein Ahar. It's an isolated spot. So the Rambam never quoted that. So that's what all the Nosei Kelim break their heads to try to understand why the Rambam didn't quote that Ukimta of the Gemara. If Kamat Yehadi ever bring an Egel Arufa? You never bring an Egel Arufa. Yoshev is Bein Ahar. What happens, the next Mishnah has a humorous case. Probably never happened, but theoretically it's a Machlekes HaTanaim. Let's say the Bez Nagadol sends the three or the five representatives, and they measure 100 times, and it comes out exactly equidistant to the two cities.
That's from Rabbi Ermir.
Huh?
This is a Maisim at Rabbi Ermir.
Sounds like Rabbi Ermir, yeah. So Rabbi Ermir used to declare these kind of shilas, and they threw him out of the base medrash. The Gemara always has Rabbi Ermir, he's always chepping. He's a real chepak. He's always chepping on little details. What's a din if one leg is in the fit, 25 amas, one leg is out of 20, always funny shilas. So finally they couldn't take it anymore, so they threw him out of the base medrash. So this Mishnah is an abstract halacha. What if you find the dead body, mechuban exactly equidistant ben shtei ayores? So, truth of the matter is that that's impossible. How can it be exactly? It has to be half an inch closer. It has to be a quarter of an inch. It has to be a millimeter, whatever it is. It has to be some mashu. But that's the shaila. Whenever human beings are measuring things, so you can measure 100 times. Oh, so that's the shaila. Do we say efshel tzamtzem? Do we say, if the halacha says we have to measure something, and we measured it, and it's there in front of us. The dead body is there, and the cities are here. We measured it 100 times, and every time it comes up to be exactly the same. So does the halacha recognize that's it, to the best of your ability? You measured many times, and efshel tzamtzem. We assume that the halacha considers that exactly mechuvan mishtei ayores.
If they were measuring the length of the body, and the body was lying lengthwise between, it's possible.
No, that's a different question. From which part of the body do you measure? The Mishnah is going to have a machlekes about that also. Do you measure from the nose, from the head? Yeah, we'll get to that. That's the next topic. Okay. Me'echen ha'yomodinim, that's another topic. So this shaila is, if it's exactly... So the Gemara has a machlekes in different mesichtas. Do you say, Epsha, it's in Pcheris. In Pcheris, here it says on the side, Pcheris Yud Zayin Amebeis. Pcheris Yud Zayin Amebeis, the Mishnah talks about a female cow is about to give birth for the first time. So if it turns out to be a male, the first Vlad is a male, so it's a Dina Bchor Behema Torah. So he's supposed to be Makriv and on the Mizbech. Or if it has a mum, so you have to give it to the Kohanim as a matona, that they should eat the flesh. It's one of the 24 matnas kuna. If it turns out to be a female, so there's no din of b'chor b'hema Torah. So what happens if it turns out that it's twin male, twin zecharim? So which one is considered born first? So whichever one, Rosho or Rubo, either Yotza, Rosho or Rubo. What if Yotza, Rosh, Shnehem, Bevasachas? The both heads came out. So that's called Epshel Tzamtzem, Uri Epshel Tzamtzem, that's called Bidei Shemaim. This is called Bidei Odom, and that's called Bidei Shemaim. Bidei Shemaim means we're watching, and it's one split second when the twins are born, and we don't have a video that we should be able to measure it. It happened one split second, and it can't be repeated. So that's one Shaila, whether it's Epshel Tzamtzem, Bidei Shemaim, Uri Epshel Tzamtzem. Here it's a Shaila, even if you hold there, E Epshel Tzamtzem, we assume you must have made a mistake. It's the odds are 5,000 to 1 that one was born before the other. How likely is it that the both heads came out exactly Yotze Roshav Vasachas? So you should really assume either one is the Pchor, the other is Pchor. They're not going to be both a Pchor. So that's one machloikis, where they say, Epshel Tzamtzem Midei Shamai. The Torah was given to human beings, and we can't know everything. We're not omniscient. So to the best of our knowledge, we were watching, and it looked to all the farmers on the farm that their both heads were Yotzer b'vasachas. So that's one machlekes hatanoim, where they say, Epshel tzamtzem b'dei shamayim or Epshel tzamtzem. Even if you hold that b'dei shamayim, the odds are 5,000 to 1, that it didn't happen exactly simultaneously. And you should assume, Epshel tzamtzem, either one is a b'chor, the other is a b'chor, but they're not both b'chor. So now the question is, what about Bidiyadim? Bidiyadim means the body is there, and we keep on measuring and measuring 100 times, and every time it turns out to be exactly the same. So maybe there's room to say, Bidei Shamayim is Efshel Tzamtzim, but Bidiyadim is Efshel Tzamtzim. Bidiyadim means you repeat it, you keep on repeating the measurement, and every time it comes out to be the same. This is the Gemara we learned in Erevin in the first parak. The Gemara talks about you have a Mavli that has 3 walls, and then you have the 4th wall is missing. So Min HaTorah you're allowed to carry Min HaRabbanan, you have to make a tikkun on the Ruach Revius. So what happens if the Ruach Revius, it's a big opening, and you have a wall that's exactly 4 amas long. So do you assume it's, and you measure, every single time you measure, it's 4 amas long. So do you have the right to assume we measured 100 times? We ask everybody to measure exactly 4 amas. Do you say, since we measured 100 times over, that's Epshel Tzamtzim of the Adam, it's exactly 4 amas, and therefore the din will be one way, or should you assume, no, the odds are that it's either more than 4 amas or less than 4 amas. So highly unlikely it's going to be exactly. So should you consider that possibility, that it's, even though it's B'di Adam, maybe it should also be Epshel Tzamtzim? So that's a shaila. How do we paskin? There's a big Tosfos there. Tosfos wants to make a hachra that b'dei shamayim we assume eifshel tzamtzim. We assume it's probably not exact because we only saw it once, and we probably didn't see precisely. Probably either one was born first or the other one was born first. And b'dei adam, we keep on, it's still there. We keep on measuring and measuring over and over, and every time it comes out the same. So Tosfos wants to be machmir that b'dei adam is eifshel tzamtzim.
Makes sense.
Yeah, asvar lechalik. Gemar makes this svar lechalik. So here's the shaila in the Mishnah. Nimtzum b'chuvim eshtel yoris. You have the dead body, and we have to determine yet in the Mishnah from the toes, from the head, from the chest, from the pupik, exactly where to what point of the dead body do you measure to the closest cities, and whatever the point is, we measure every time it comes out to be exactly the same. So what's the din? So the Mishnah quotes Reb Lezer shteyem eviyos. Shtei Agolus. Direi Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer, the Tana says, both cities bring an Egel Arufa. So the Gemara explains why. Right after the Mishnah ends, the first line in the Gemara, it says, my time of the Reb Lezer. What is Reb Lezer's Shita based on? So it's based on 2 premises. Number one, Kasava Epshel Tzamtzein Bidei Odom Hestus. We measured. Every time we measure, it comes out exactly the same. So we assume that the Torah was given to human beings, and we measured it to the best of our ability. That's it. It's exactly equal. And number two, he holds, there's no din that it has to be dafka one city. If you have 2 cities or more that are equidistant to the dead body, so they're all mechuyev to bring an egel arufa. It's problematic, because the whole idea of the egel arufa is, the whole idea of the kreiva, like the Gemara said there in Bava Basra, dafka of Gimel, that karev is the bira. We assume that the murderer must have come from that city. So if you have 2 cities that are equidistant, you decided there were 2 murderers. We know that someone murdered him. Do we have the right to assume that because 2 cities are equidistant, there were at least 2 murderers, and they came from these 2 cities? How can you reconstruct that? You can't reconstruct what happened. So it's problematic. So that's Reb Lezer's shita. Kareva filu karevus. And the other Tanoim, the Gemara Mchoris quotes, other Tanoim disagree. Others disagree. They say kreiva v'loy kreivais. You can't both be mechuyev. Or other Tanam disagree. They hold eifshel tzamtzim. Afilu b'dei adam, say eifshel tzamtzim. So it's either this city or that city. So the both cities have to chip in and pay for an egel arufa. It's an expensive proposition. They both pay for the egel arufa, but it has to be sponsored by the people from the correct city. It has to be from the right city. So they both together pay for an egel arufa. They share the expenses 50-50. And then they make a tanai. They say, if we're the ones who are mukhiv to bring the egel arufa, so the people from the other city are makhtan to us, their chelik. And if they're mukhiv to bring the egel arufa, we're makhtan to them, our chelik. Because the din is the egel arufa has to belong to the community of the city that's bringing it. So the Mor says they have to be makhtan ala tanai. Then the Mishnah has the next line in the Mishnah, En Yerushalayim Vigla egel arufa. You measure to all the cities closest to the dead body, to the murdered body. If the closest city happens to be Yerushalayim, so you don't bring an egel arufa. Mar says, why not? Because the pasuk says the mitzvah of egel arufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Ki motzichol ba'adoma asher shamakach nosin l'chol l'rishto. Nosim L'chol Erishna means that in Dini Mamanis, Eretz Yisrael originally was given to Avraham Avinu. He walked around the borders. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Kum v'salach v'aretz l'arka l'rachba kiluchay t'neno. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra Daf Kuf, by walking around the borders, he was koine. That constituted a kinyan chazoket. That's a machloik is there in Baba Basra. Does that kinyan apply b'zman hazeh? Let's say I have a field, I have a farm, and I want to sell it to you. And I say, Kum v'salach v'aretz l'arka l'rachba, walk around the borders and you'll be koine. So that's a machloik is satanayim. So we assume that that was only hayrosh shah. Once in the history of the world, the Rebbe Shalom told Avraham Avinu that constitutes a kinyan chazok. But Ladaris, it doesn't work. And there's one Tana Reb Lezer in Baba Basra. He holds that even works bizman hazeh. If he's selling a field to someone else, that constitutes a chazok. We say, no, chazok has to be no al godar uporatz. Either you dig a little bit, or you put up a fence, or you knock down a fence, or you lock the door. You have to do some tikkun akak, you have to do some activity. So Avraham Avinu was kind of Eretz Yisrael, and he was told, and Yitzhak was told, and Yankov was told, Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael is like a corporation. Klal Yisrael, everybody all together. But it doesn't mean that I have private ownership. It belongs to Klal Yisrael, the incorporated. So in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they were told that they should, after they conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, they should divide it amongst the Shvatim. They had a chaluk al pi ha-goyro, al pi roch ha-kodesh, al pi ha-goyro. And after dividing the Chalukah l'Shvatim, Shevet Yisachar, Shevet Zvulun, Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, and after dividing l'Shvatim, then they would draw lots and divide l'Mishpachas and then l'Yechidim. So then there was private ownership, the Shevet owned that section, and then the Mishpachas and the Yechidim, everybody, this is my house, and that's your house, and this is your field, this is your farm, everything was divided. So the Tanoim have a Pasuk in Chumash, says in Parshas Re'ei, you have to build the Beis HaMikdash. B'amokam Hashiv HaShem Mikol Shivtechem Losem HaShmai Shom. What does it mean, Mikol Shivtechem? The Rebbe Shalom doesn't want that the Beis HaMikdash should be in Shevet Yisachar. So they'll say, we're the Balabatim on the whole religion. Beis HaMikdash is in our Shevet. Or in Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't want it should belong to one Shevet. They'll claim they're the Balabatim. So the Torah says, Mikol Shivtechem. B'amokam Hashiv HaShem Mikol Shivtechem should belong to all the Shvatim. So what does that mean? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So we assume it's a historical machlokes, what happened in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and it's a halachic machlokes. The history depends on halacha. So we paskin like the shita, hamokam shiv chashem mikol shivtechem means that the whole city Yerushalayim, when Yeshua ben Nun divided l'shvatim, he had a map and they drew lots with the girl, and this section belongs to Shevet Yisach, and this section belongs to Shevet Zvulun. Everything was divided except for Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim never belonged. Yerushalayim was divided. Part was Binyamin and part was Yehuda. So the Gemara says the accepted opinion, the historical assumption, and the halachic assumption is that Yerushalayim, that half that is in Chelka Shel Yehuda, that half never belonged to Shevet Yehuda. It's in Chelka Shel Yehuda, but in Dini Mamonis it didn't belong to Shevet Yehuda. And the other half that was Bechelka Shel Binyamin was not the ownership of Shevet Binyamin. And then when the Shvatim divided the Mishpachas and then Lechidim, Yerushalayim was never divided. It was Yerushalayim Leinis Chalka L'Shvatim. It never had private ownership. And then the Gemara says in Megillah, if Yerushalayim Leinis Chalka L'Shvatim, so if anyone, when the Oile Rigolim come to the Ir Atika, they come to Yerushalayim. When you come to Beit V'gan, so you can charge money if people want to sleep in your apartment. But anyone who wants to come to the Ir Atika, you have no right to charge any rent. It belongs to the Gans Klal Yisrael. It doesn't belong to you more than to anybody else. The Gemara says he can't charge any rent. So that's the one. That's the accepted opinion that Yerushalayim is never Nischal Kol Shvatim. That's why it's called Hamokam Shiv Hashem Mikol Shivtechem. That Yerushalayim remained in the ownership of Klal Yisrael Incorporated, and it was never divided at all. And the other opinion, which is not accepted, holds not so. That in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they divided everything, including Yerushalayim. And then they divided the Mishpachas for the Yechidim, everything was divided. Then in the days of David HaMelech, when they were preparing to build the Beis HaMikdash, so David was trying to figure out, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, first the Rabbanim are supposed to figure out on their own where they think the Beis HaMikdash should be built, and then you have to consult with a Navi. It's a little strange. So David HaMelech figured out where, and he guessed wrong. He determined it should be built, Beis HaMikdash should be built in Ein Ittim. That's a location, a higher elevation above sea level, a location on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. So David HaMelech misunderstood, based on the Psukim, that Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash has to be not in Yerushalayim, in Ein Itim. So then the halacha says the Talmid HaChachamim should work it out on their own, and then they have to consult the Navi. So he consulted the Navi. So the Navi told him, you guessed wrong, sorry, has to be in Yerushalayim, lower, not the highest elevation in all the various, a lower elevation. What does it say? It says, the Kamtov Yalisa Alamokan. When the brothers of Yosef are shuttling back and forth from Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan, so when they leave Eretz Canaan to go to Mitzrayim, it says, Vayer Derecha Yosef Asur. They were Yordim. When they come back to Eretz, it's called Vayalu. So why? Because Eretz El Gavoyim is called Harotzes. So a similar pasuk appears in connection with Yerushalayim. It says, Vekamta, it says, Ki Yipolim Imcha Dov, Ala Mishpat, Vein Dam, La Dam, Vein Din, La Din, Vein Negel, La Negel, Divya, Rivis, Bisharecha, Dabli, Amachloikas, among the Rabbanim in your community, and you can't be Zalv, and it's ripping apart the community. So it says, Vekamta, Vialisa, Ala Mokam, you should be Oile, go up to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim, Gavoyim, we call Eretz Yisrael, Vekamta, Vialisa, Ala Mokam, and ask the Bezna God of them, whatever they paskin is binding. So just like it says, Aliyah, when you go from Chutz L'Eretz Yisrael, it's called Aliyah, because Eretz El Gevayim, Mikol HaRotzeis. Yerushalayim is also Gevayim, Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So Dovid HaMelech was right. So it should be Ein Itim. Ein Itim, the Gemara assumes, is the location that has a higher elevation than Yerushalayim, higher than the hills of Yerushalayim. So why did the Novi tell him that he guessed wrong? So the Gemara learns it out from Sukkim, that it's supposed to be in Yerushalayim. So why is it called Hamokam? Why is it called the Olisa? So what does it mean, Yerushalayim, Gevayim, Mikol Eretz Yisrael? What does it mean, Eretz Yisrael, Gevayim, Mikol HaRotzeis? The mountains in Eretz Yisrael are higher than the Swiss Alps. It's not true. The Swiss Alps are higher. So what does it mean, Eretz Yisrael, Gevayim, Mikol? What does it mean, Yerushalayim, is Gevayim, Mikol Eretz Yisrael? Shechina means Aruchnius, higher Aruchnius. It doesn't sound like it in the Gemara, in Kiddushin. The end of Kiddushin doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's talking physically. So the Balamor in Rosh Hashanah explains what it means on Daf Chof. There's a famous Balamor, long, long Balamor. He talks about the issue of the international dateline. So he says, when you have a globe, so what's on top? The North Pole.
Yerushalayim.
Verzok, the North Pole is on the top. If you want, you can turn the South Pole on the top. I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I can put Scranton on top. You can put whatever you want on top. So the halacha says, Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be on top, and Yerushalayim is supposed to be on top. By nafkamina, just covered. You can put whatever you want on top. He says, no, it's negated to the issue of the international daytime. When the Rabbanu Shel Olam created the world, so the earth is a globe, and the globe consists of two hemispheres. So when all of Sheshes Mei Bereshis, when the whole Bria began, and the Rabbanu Shel Olam, so to speak, pushed the button, and the earth started to turn on its axis. So where was Vahiyera Vayvoker? Where was the first Shkia? Where did everything begin? So if you assume Eretz Yisrael is on top, and Yerushalayim is on top, I think they wrote in the newspapers that recently, because of some earthquake, the whole axis of the earth changed a little bit, and every day is at this a split second shorter than it used to be, something. So we don't know exactly where. There must have been a lot of earthquakes in Sheshes Mei Bereshis. But approximately speaking, where is the center of the upper hemisphere that you're going to say that 6 hours to the east is the beginning of all of time? So that's what the Balamor interprets in the Gemara. Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael is Gevayim Mikol HaRotzeis, means in Sheshes Mei Bereshis. It doesn't mean the highest elevation above sea level. It means for the purposes of Bishas Briyas Ha'olam, for the purposes of determining where the dateline is, so it's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. That's what the Chazon Ish explains. He has a whole Kuntres Yutche Shoes in the middle of the Second World War, when many of the Talmidim from the Mir Yeshiva were in Japan. So they had the Shaila, which day is Shabbos? Then it came a bigger Shaila, which day is Yom Kippur? Some of them were still there on Yom Kippur. And then the Japanese kicked them all out, so then they went to Shanghai. But they were there for, I think, a few months, 6 months or so, they were in Japan. So the Shaila was, which day is Shabbos? Where is the international daytime? Where's the first place that it becomes Shabbos? So the Chazon Ish said that Japan is to the east of the dateline. Like the Ummah Salem assume that the dateline, the Ummah Salem just picked arbitrarily a dateline where there's no landmass. Because it doesn't make sense. You're going to have a dateline cut through America. So one side of the dateline is going to be Monday, the other side is going to be Tuesday. To the left is going to be Tuesday already. So it's best to pick a line where it doesn't bother anybody. So they arbitrarily picked a line in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Also, it cuts through a couple of islands, so they drew the line a little bit curved. It's approximately straight, because there are hardly any islands over there, but then they had to move it over a little bit, that it shouldn't cut through a landmass. So the Chazanish says, we don't pick arbitrarily, we have halacha. So the Balamor, he quotes that the Balamor with another 6-7 Rishonim, who all talk about the topic of the deadline, they all say the same thing, Pe'echa, that the deadline is... The Yehuda Levi says the same, right? He points out all of the Rishonim, all the Rishonim don't talk about the issue of the dateline, but all those who talk about it all say the same pshat in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav, that the earth is a globe. They all knew the earth is a globe. That's how they're interpreting the Gemara. That the Chachma HaGemara knew the earth was round, the earth was a globe, it wasn't flat, and the dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. Yeah.
So, there was a Yavisi. The Mukam HaMikdash was in the Chaylik of Yavisi, and David HaMelech had a...
bought it.
He bought it?
He purchased it from Goren Arabna Hayavusi.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't remember that he bought it.
Goren Arnoin, he's known as Arabna Hayavusi. So we paskin like the Tanaimus say, Yerushalayim is Neben is Chalka L'Shvatim. From day number one, when Yishuv, not day number one, it took 7 years till they conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, then it took 7 years till they divided it. So after the 7 years of conquering, so then they divided based on the Goyrol, the Ruach HaKodesh. So first they divided among the Shvatim, and then it took another 7 years till they divided among the Mishpachas and among the Yechidim. So when they made the Chalukah L'Shvatim, that Haschol of the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael, so we assume historically, based on the Pasuk in Chumash, Yerushalayim was never Nischalka L'Shvatim. From day number one, they knew Yeshua ben Nun knew that's when they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. That has to be Amokam Shivcha Hashem Mikol Shivtechem. It shouldn't belong to any Shevet. The other Tanaim say it's not true. Yeshua ben Nun didn't know where they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. They divided everything. Yerushalayim is also Nischalka L'Shvatim. Aye, how do you fulfill the Pasuk that says, in Re'ei Hamokam Shivcha Hashem Mikol Shivtechem? So the Gemara says, no, David HaMelech made a collection. Every Shevet had to chip in their share. They divided it among all of the Shvatim. And then they purchased the Goren Arabna Hayavusi, they purchased it from him. And now it became Hamokim Shiv Hashem, Mikol Shiv Techem, because it was bought. If David did it, so it was the Nischalka, it originally did belong to Shevet Binyamin, and that originally did belong to Shevet Yehuda, but the area was purchased up by the people who are alive at that time. Masheni Kane, if in the days of Yeshua, so it belonged to the Tzibur from the days of Avraham Avinu Yitzchak Yankiv, and it never had any private ownership. It'll boil down to the same thing. The Gemara says there is a difference, though. According to the Tanoim who hold that Yerushalayim, the way we follow, Yerushalayim Lenis Chalka L'Shvatim, all of Yerushalayim is Lenis Chalka L'Shvatim, the whole Yir Atika. According to the other Tana, that it was Nischalka, but they had to buy it back. You only had to buy back the Makam HaMikdash, not the Holy Yir Atika. That's how the Gemara says. You only had to buy back the Makam HaMikdash.
What is the connection with Egla Rufa?
Oh, so the Pasuk says, you only bring Egla Rufa, Ki motzi chalo ba'adoma asher Hashem alakech unosin l'chol derishto. Only if you find the person murdered in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, and only if you find him murdered close to a city which is Nosin L'chol L'Rishto, that the Rabbanu Shalom gave it Nosin L'chol, it's your ownership L'Rishto. So Yerushalayim was never Nischalka L'Shvatim, it was never given private ownership. And Yerushalayim said that's not called Nosin L'chol L'Rishto. The Gemara in Bava Kamma has a list of dinim. Here in Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Aleph. No, it's around there. The Gemara in Bava Kamma has a list of dinim. Asara dinim nemra b'Yerushalayim. 10 dinim were formulated in the end of Perek Merubah. The last daf in Perek Merubah. So the Gemara says there are 10 halachas regarding Yerushalayim, and most of them are based on the fact that Yerushalayim was lo nischalka l'shvatim. Let's say the din of Bayis HaMenuga. One Tana says there never was a Bayis HaMenuga. Historically, there's so many conditions, it's impossible to fill all the conditions. Okay, maybe it is impossible. Machlokes in the Gemara, whether Bayis HaMenuga did exist or didn't exist. But just on the books, theoretically, there is such a din, a Bayis HaMenuga, so let's say there'll be a Bayis HaMenuga, be Yerushalayim. Will it have the dinim of Tzaraz Batim? So the Gemara says, no, the way we assume the halacha, Yerushalayim, Lanes Chalka L'Shvatim, it doesn't have any din of Tzaraz Batim. The Gemara has a list of other dinim that don't apply in Yerushalayim because of the fact that it's len is chalkav shvat. Egla Rufa is one of them, one of the many dinim. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Skip over in the further city is going to bring an Egla Rufa. We don't understand it there, we don't understand it here. Ashvera did, we don't understand. We assume there were. The Gemara just has in Sanhedrin. Right, one Tana claims there never was a Ben Sarmer, the other one says, not true, I was there on his kever. And one says, Bayis HaMenuga never existed, and one says, Irani Dachas never existed. No, but never says there was no Egla Rufa.
When this Rabu HaGonim or Achsonim, then they abolished the Egla Rufa, the implication is that there must have been a Rufa.
There must have been Egla Rufa, yeah. What's the din of Egla Rufa? We assume there was Egla Rufa. So the din of Egla Rufa is... You have to chop off the head of the Egla Rufa in a Nachal Eson. The Shaila, how do you translate Nachal? And biblically, the word Nachal sometimes refers to a river, sometimes means a valley.
It's a valley. We can go there and you see it. The Nachal Eson, you can see.
No, we don't know any Nachal Eson. We don't know where Nachal Eson. So the Rambam learns Nachal means a river. What does it mean, Nachal Eson? Eson means kosher. What do you mean kosher? The Rambam says the river goes with a force. The water rushes with a force, gushes. The Rashi says, like you say, Nachal is a valley. Nachal Eisan, nothing grows there. It's tough. Nothing grows there.
So the dam came from the Samaritans, from the Shkita, went down to the Nachal Eisan.
But that's not this Nachal Eisan. No, this is different. This is a different Nachal Eisan. So the Shaila is, they obviously did at least once in the history of the world, they brought an Egla Rufa. So where is, when the Chalutzim moved back to Eretz Yisrael in the late 1800s, where are they not allowed to plant? It says, if you have a Nachal Eisan, asher lo ye'ovid v'lo yizareya. After you do an Egla Rufa mitzvah procedure, you're not allowed to plant there. You're allowed to do other things. You're allowed to do bike riding. You're allowed to do other things, but the Mishnah's going to say what? But you're not allowed to plant there. So where exactly is the Nachal Eisan? So the Prima Gadim quotes the Achronim and say, we don't know where it is. So are you allowed to start a kibbutz wherever you want? Can you plant wherever you want? You should say it's a tarubis. I know somewhere in the Eretz Yisrael there's a Nachal Eisan, but you're not allowed to plant. So misafik, they have a right to say, like a taruvis of yavish b'yavish. I have a tray for salami, got mixed up with two kosher salamis, and there are no labels on them, and they're exactly the same. I have no way of determining which is the tray for salami, which is the kosher salami. So the din is a taruvis of yavish b'yavish, mimimim, is bottle chad b'tray. So after one tray for salami got mixed up with two kosher salamis, so it's bottle b'roib. So you're going to say over here also, bitl, I have at least one nachal eisan. There's some of the other regions, some of the other areas in Eretz Yisrael where you are allowed to plant. There's only here and there, there's a Nachal Eisan, you don't know where they are, you're not allowed to plant, so you're going to say it's bottled b'raiv. So the Prima Gadim quotes the Kasha, this should be Kavua. The din is called Kavua, Kemachza Amachza Domi. When you have a raiv and a miut, you always go basa raiv, but if the miut is attached to the ground, it's a shtei tavanot, like a Nachal Eisan is a shtik karka, so the din is that it's considered Kemachza Amachza, and it can't be bottle brav. So that's his kasha against the whole Zionist movement. how can we move back to Eretz Yisrael and plant wherever you want to? The whole Eretz Yisrael is suffering Nachal Eisan.
Like before the Zionist movement, from Melech Yehuda and so forth.
They knew which location was the Nachal Eisan. It's a good kasha. No, the Prima Gadim's kasha, Ashtarki kasha. Prima Gadim had nothing to do with Zionism. It was before anybody was dreaming about Zionism. But it's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. We don't know. If you don't know where Nachal Eisan is, they should ask all of Eretz Yisrael, unless you know that they always used to plant here. Do we really have? There must be some locations where we don't know if they ever planted there.
Based on that theory, how would a coin be allowed to walk through the shrine? Because somebody must be buried there over the years.
So good tikasha, echad a good tikasha. Okay, cemeteries were lost, so it also be called kavua kemachza machzadam. So good tikasha. So that's sometimes you may or may not have a teretz. You can say sofik tuma bishus sarab misfeka tohar.
Yeah,
that's a questionable teretz. But that could be a teretz. But over here, this is the famous kasha. The Prima Gordon quotes this kasha from earlier Achronim. You should say it's also to plant anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, unless you have a tradition that there always used to be a farm here. They always planted. If you're going to take a new dry area where you don't know if they ever planted, maybe you'll be the lucky winner. Maybe this is one of the Nachal Eisons, and you're a violation of the din of Lo Yovid V'lo Yizareh. Is that kasha?
Don't you have to get rid of one?
Rashi has such a chumra that you have to throw out one. There are more paskins like that, Rashi, but most of the Rishonim don't accept that Rashi. Most of the Rishonim hold, you don't have to throw one out. It's a chumra.
But you could plant wherever it clearly doesn't look like either a riverbed or a valley. I mean, that's for sure, let's say, flat.
Okay.
So, okay.
So we solved half of the problem. Okay. Okay. River, it's clear that there was no river and there was no valley. Okay.
The water's down there. All right. You say it wasn't. I thought there was there. It's an appellation.
Maybe it's a different way.
Maybe it's down there.
Maybe Shiloh is something else.
And then you look up and you see the hill going up to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that the water and the dams that was coming down, that was going down to the Nachal Eisan, and the Ganunim, the Gemara said, was buying it.
Yeah. I don't remember if the Gemara calls that Nachal Eisan. I don't remember. Don't remember. You have to look in the Mishnais. Okay. Don't know. So that's Yerushalayim, has a special stat. There are other dinim in Yerushalayim that are not based on the fact that Lein Eschalka L'Shvatim. Yid Kachim Kalim there, Mitzorah has not been in the tent Yerushalayim. That has nothing to do with, that's unrelated to whether it was in Eschalka L'Shvatim, not in Eschalka L'Shvatim. Nachal Kidron. I think it says Nachal Kidron. I think that's what it says. Sounds better.
I stand corrected.
I think so.
But I was glad.
Okay. Now, Zvaita Ashayla. The Mishnah has Ashayla, the second line in the Mishnah. Nimtza, what if they find a harug, a dead Jewish body, and the head is over here and the body is over there? So do you bring the head to the body or do you bring the body to the head? What do you mean? My nafkemina. What's the Shayla? Nimtza, how does it say? Nimtza Rosha b'makam echad v'gufa b'makam acher. You find the head over here and the rest of the body over there. So it's a machlekes hatanaim. Alich marosh eitzel haguf de Reb Eliezer. Shimming the head to the rest of the body. Rabbi Kiva ima faker. Haguf eitzel arosh. So the Gemara asks, on the third line in the Gemara, nimtza arosh. The maikom afligi, what are they fighting about? Whether you bring the head to the body to the head. What's an afkemina? I leimo le'inyan medido kam afligi. The argument is, which part of the body do you measure from? Mar says, no, that's the next line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has three different opinions. Let's say you have the murdered body over here, the whole body over here, and the head over here. So do you measure which part? How does the Mishnah say? The next line in the Mishnah, from which part of the body do you measure to the cities to determine whether it's closer? If you measure from the head, this city will be closer. Measure from the feet, the other city will be closer. So the Mishnah has a machlekes. Rabbi Elazar Amar mitiburay from the pupik. Rabbi Akiva Amar mechotma, you measure from the nose. Rabbi Elazar Amar Yaakov Amar from the neck. Malkin shenasa cholol dainu mitzavar. So the three opinions in the Tanoim. So what's the machlekes in the previous line where you bring the body to the head, the head to the body? What's the shalom? And again, to medida. No, medida. There are three opinions from the neck. Of the body, from the neck, or from the chaitim, I would have said from the heart. So that's not in the running. They didn't ask me. No one said from the heart.
Whichever one you move, that's going to be affect one of those three medidas.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, yeah. If you move the head, so then it's the neck's going to, it depends where it's going to go there. And
right.
If you move the chaitim, it's going to.
Right.
So.
Okay. So it will affect it. It will affect it, but this machlekes is not a shaila where you measure from. If you move the head to the body, back to the head, then you still have the machlekes. It will affect the medida, but that's not identical with that machlekes.
Move the bodies together, you still don't know how to measure.
Right. So what's the issue? What's the issue of where of which part you move to where? What's the issue involved? What's an afkamina? So the Gemara says, Eleim alinya medida kamifligi is the issue. Where do you measure from? That's three opinions in the Mishnah. Meriktani seifa. The Mishnah continues to say the next line, Me'ayin ha'yamodidim. Michalal, the inference is, the ratio lava medida askina. The ratio is not an issue on medida. It'll affect the medida, you're right. It'll affect the medida, but it's not the machlegs on medida. And for the Gemara, the Meis Mitzvah kanam kama kama fligi. The Gemara says in Bava Kama that they made a takana midirabana. If you have a Meis Mitzvah, normally when a person dies, so we know who the family is. So, kavod ha'meis is to be buried b'kivri avosav, to be buried with the rest of the family. Unless he's a Rosha, so you're not allowed to bury a Rosha Eitzel HaTzadik, so you can't bury him with the rest of the family. So you got to bury him somewhere else. But then later, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, the Daf Yomi people just learned that, Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, let's say you have Harugi Bezin, a person was put to death for his gutta maisim tovim. He's a murderer, or he's a Ovid Avodizor, he's a Baal Eishishish, or all of the above. He does all of the Averis. And they gave him Mises Bezin. So you're not allowed to bury him in Kibre Savoisov, and Kavin Tzadik Eitzorosha. So you have to bury him in a separate Beis HaKvaris Shel Haruge Bezin. But then, after a while, the body will start to decompose. Then the Mishnah assumes he has his Kapara already. So then he's no longer considered burying a Rosh HaTzad. He has his Kapara. So then you can be Malakat the Atzomis. You can take whatever is left and move him back to bury him in Kivya Avaisav. That's more Bekavadik to bury. Here they have in New York, they have Chevre Kaddishes. They have chevres for cemeteries, but they're very makbid about that. That they won't allow non-religious people to be buried in their cemeteries. So that's fine. So okay, that's taka the din. So the chevre is makbid on the din. But then, let's say it's a year later, the family wants to put up a matzeva, and they'd rather shengen up the zionist, that the guy, he was never a Shem Shabbos. So the poor guy suffered that he was buried somewhere else. But then after a year is up, the family wants to move him back to the Kivri Avosav. The family all wants to move him back. So other Avosavs. The Mishnah says, you're allowed to move him back. You're allowed to be mechabed him now. Now he had his kapara already. So the Gemara says, usually when a person dies, you know who the family is. And the family has an obligation to see to it that they bury him properly. The kever ha-mishpacha. If someone dies, you don't know who in the world it is. You know that he's Jewish. He has a bris mila. You know that he's Jewish. But you don't know who he's related to. You don't know who he is. So that's called the Meis Mitzvah. So who's going to bury him? Where is he going to be buried? Who has the responsibility? So they made a takana de rabbanim, Meis Mitzvah, kana mekomo. Hefker bezna hefker, you bury him where he dropped dead. He dropped dead in the middle of the field, so you bury him over there. Let's say a farmer, wakes up one day and he goes to do his work in his field. All of a sudden he finds that some wise guy buried a relative in his field. So the Gemara says, you have a right to exhume the body. They have no right to bury a mace in my field. I have a right to take the mace out. They have no right to put him here. If it would have been a mace mitzvah, that would have been written up in the newspapers. We would have heard already that this individual was a mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah would already be kolui eslei. So that's the din. If you have a mace mitzvah, kana mekom, and the meida takana de rabbanon hefker bezna hefker, wherever he dies, so you have to bury him there. So
that,
right? He was schlepping a meis mitzvah a long distance, and then they told me he did wrong. You should have buried him, kana mekom. You should have left him where he was. So the Gemara said, v'achi kama, this is what the Mishnah means. Likover, with respect to burying the meis, kana mekomo, you bury him where you found him. If you don't know who the family is, if you can identify who the horig is, so you notify the family and you bury him b'kivus avosav. Why should you assume he's a Russia? He was murdered. Why should you assume he's a Russian? So let's say they did make mitzvah kana mekomo. So the head was over here and the body is over there. So where is kana mekomo? Where did he bury him? Over here or over there? So that's the machlekes hatanoim. But again, to this din derabbanon. This is a din derabbanon. Make mitzvah kana mekomo. You bury him wherever he is. The body is over here and the head is over there. So that's the machlekes. So the first time it says, malich marosh eitzel aguf. You carry the head to the body. The Rabbi Lezer Kiva says, "Faket, Maikam Efligi." So, what's the Nekudas Amachleikus? So, the Gemara presents it like it's a Machleikus and Metzias. Marsav a Gufei Beduchte Nofil Reisha Denodi Benofil. When they chopped off his head, they detached his head from the body. That's a cholo. So, the head was rolling away. The body fell down over here. The head rolled away. So, Kana Mekoma, he became a Meis Mitzvah over here. So the Kana Makom is over here. And you bring the head that probably rolled away, and you bring it back over here. Omar Sabah, but the other Tana says, no, the head probably fell down. The head doesn't roll so easily, unless it's a steep hill. If it's a flat ground, so the head fell down on the ground, he died, and then the body continues to run a little bit. Even after you cut off someone's head, the body will still run till it realizes that it's dead, and then it'll fall down over there. So therefore, the Kana Makom is over here. So the Gemara, that's how the Gemara says. Marsa, but the other Tana says, no. Reshecha, the nafil, nafil. When the head falls down, it stays there. It doesn't roll around. Gufu hu deroit v'yozel. The body probably still continues to run. Like when you chop a fish, when you take a live fish, and you chop it, so the tail is going to continue to jump. Or the Mishnah has zonav haltor. If you have a lizard, and you chop off the tail of the lizard, so it'll still be jumping around. It's dead already, but even though it's dead, it'll still jump around a little bit.
Both possibilities are possible. Both are possibilities. The masovo.
So it's a din derabbanan. The Gemara presents it. It's only a din derabbanan regarding meis mitzvah kana mekomo. So it's a machlekes hatanaim. How do you fulfill the din derabbanan? I remember Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in the Rambam, you get the impression that it's an issue deraisa also. Not only the shaila of meis mitzvah kana mekomo, the din is that the Bezen HaGadol has to send 3 or 5 representatives to measure. How does it say in the Chumash? They have to measure Sviva Sachalo. They have to measure from the dead body. So it sounds from the Pasuk, that's from the Rama Moso, they don't bury the body until after the Medida. The Medida has to be made from the body. So that's what the Mishnah says on the level of Deraisa. You have to have the whole body together in order to be able to do the medida. So it could be that it's a shaila on the level of deraisa. It'll affect the medida for sure. It affects the medida. So you can't say it's only on the level of the rabbanon. It's not only they get to the meis mitzvah kana mekomo. That's it. Then the rabbanon hefke bez nefke. It must be on the level of deraisa, like you say, because it's going to affect. If you say michotmo, or you say mitiburoi on from the neck. So you're moving something somewhere. It's going to affect the dinim deraisa also. So it must be that this is on a level of deraisa as well, not just on a level of derabbanan.
Don't you take the body like to a chaver kedusha to wrap it in shrouds or something?
After the medida, they have to notify the Bez Nagadol quickly.
So then you bring the body back to where it was found. After they do the tara, then you bring it back and you bury it in that spot.
Oh, they do the tara over there. They don't have to do the Tara Davke in the Chaver Kadisha office. They can do it over there, Al Pnei HaSada. They can do it there.
It's fair that they bring in the middle of Edgar Ufa a look of Mes Mitzvah. That's why it looks like what the Rav said. And that's how it makes more sense that it's if it's just Stam coming to teach us the halacha of Mes Mitzvah, it's fair it's being brought in the middle of all these halachas.
It's shver, right? And it's also what you said. It affects the medida.
Right.
So it has to be a din deraisa. It's not just a din derabbanan. The Gemara says it's also a neged to a din derabbanan. But the main thing is it's neged to the din deraisa.
Can they make the medida from whatever sheet it is? And then when it comes to bury it, whatever they have to move.
No, but let's say you have to bury from chotmo. But if you move the head from here to there.
Right,
the way the Gemara presents it, that you assume the head rolled away, so you want to measure which is the closest city, so you should bring the head back here. Whether you move the head to the body to the head, you're determining where was he really killed. Where was he killed that affects which is the Iraq Karev El Acholo. I don't know. The Rambam sounds like he says like that, I think. The Rambam says you have to put the body together before Bez Nagadol does the Medida. Because you have to measure from the Cholo. You have to measure from the Cholo.
Maybe it's not a Cholo. Maybe the whole thing doesn't work. He wants to go Cholo. If the body is severed, it's up in pieces. Maybe it doesn't constitute a Cholo.
No, that is a Cholo. Cholo means severed. As opposed to Chanuk. If they choked them to death, there's no din of Egla Rufa. Cholo means it was severed. The head was chopped off from the body. That's what Cholo means.
It's just dead. So what if it's in a lot of pieces? It's a lot of pieces.
Don't know. Okay. Then the Gemara discusses the next machlokes in the Mishnah. Me'ayin hayu moedidim. From what part of the body do you measure to the cities? So the Mishnah had three opinions. The first opinion, Rabbi Elazar says, mitiburai, from the pupik. Rabbi Akiva says, mechotmo, from the nose. Rabbi Elazar Me'akiva says, mitzavara. Cholom, mimokim shenasal cholom, mitzavara. Because they cut off the head from the body. Zog di Gemara, b'maiko mefligi. What exactly is the machlokes? The Mishnah doesn't quote any psukim. What's the machlokes? So the Gemara explains, Marsovar, one tana is of the opinion, kechi yusei ba'ape. What keeps people alive is the breathing. So the nose is what helps them breathe. So when you're talking about a dead body, death and life is determined by the breathing. Marsovar, the other tana says, ikechi yusei v'tibure. When the baby is born. When the baby is inside the mother's body, so the nutrition comes through the pupik. So even after the person is born, we consider tiburai as if that's the ikir source of life, even though that's only when he's an embryo, that's before he's born. Still,
we don't look at the condition of the body. If you found a body and you see that he was stabbed in the tibur.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? This is where you start measuring it.
No, it says you have to measure from the dead body. So which part of the dead body? The head, the waist, the feet? From which part of the body do you measure to determine which is the closest city? Which part of the dead body? What is going to help? You're going to measure from which part of his body he was killed? Whether they cut him over here, they cut him in the stomach? No, you have to determine which is the city that's closest to his dead body. So which part of his body? So the Tanoim assume wherever the center of Chiyus is. So where's the center of Chiyus? So when he was an embryo, the center of Chiyus was Tibura, was the pupik. But he's already 50 years old. He's no longer an embryo. So one Tana says, no, since he started off from the Tibur, so it remains like that. The other one says, no, from breathing. So Agdigmar, Lema, should I say Kihani Tanoi? Should I say these opinions in the Mishnah correspond to the following machlokes? There is a braisa that discusses when a baby is born, how does the development of the embryo begin? Mechan avlad notzar, where does it begin from? So the first tana is of the pein merosho. First the head is developed, and then the rest of the body develops. Chen hoime, based on a pasuk in Tehillim. Mimeimi atagoizi, and achat pasuk goizi nizrech v'hashlichi. It sounds like from the head, that part of the body that you shave off the hair, logus, from the head. Abishol says, mitiburai. The embryo starts developing from the middle part, and then mishalech sharasha elech v'yelech. And then the head and the feet develop from there. So the Gemara says, should I say that this is the machlekes over here? If you say mitiburai, then you measure mitiburai. That's the ikechis. And if you say meirosho, then it should be mechotmo. So the Gemara says, no, they're unrelated topics. One is a shaila about the development of the embryo. That's a biological question. And the other is a halachic question. How does the embryo begin to develop inside the mother's body? That's a biological shaila, a medical issue. And this is a halachic issue. Which part of the body, which part of the body is considered the center of the chiyus? That's how the Gemara says. I feel the time. Abishol, I come. Abishol, elinin yitzira. The chimitzer v'lad b'mitziyosei mitzer. The machlekes Abishol and the others is in the yitziras of v'lad when it's an embryo. Avelinin chibusa, linin chiyusa. We're talking about the person was murdered at the age of 50. So where's the ikachiyus of the person? So that one could argue the point and say all the tanaim should agree. The kuliyama bapehu, maybe from the nose. The chsiv, the pasuk says by the mabul, that all living animals in the world died, Kolashanish Musra Chaim Biapov, Mesu Becharovo, says they all died. So the Lashon of the Pasuk is Kolashan, all living beings died, living beings are described as Nishmas Ruach Chaim Biapov, those who were breathing. So it sounds a little bit from that Pasuk that life is dependent on breathing. So it should, the Gemara is pushing that it should be Mechotmo. That's how the Rambam paskins Mechotmo. This is the Gemara in the end of Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma has also get about the pikuach nefesh is the Shabbos. So let's say a person is in a building and the whole building collapsed on the person. So if you think that there's a chance of survival, so you have to be Mechal Shabbos and bring out all the tractors and all the bulldozers and everything, and try to take everything, try to take all the all the wreck off of the person and bring him to a hospital and to save his life. So so the Gemara says, what if you take off enough debris from the body that's under this thing, and you see that he's not breathing? So do you have to still continue to take off the rest of the debris and take him to the hospital, or do you have the right to assume that he's dead? So the Gemara says there, based on this pasuk, Kol Shanishas Ruach Haim Biapov, when a person is breathing, he's alive. When he's not breathing, he's dead. So shine. Once you see that he's not breathing, so we assume that he's dead.
So that would be a riot against brain damage.
No. So this is the mocker. Those who insist on brain death, they say it based on this din. They say it based on this din because the stem of the brain controls breathing. So if the stem of the brain is dead, so the person is not able to breathe on his own. He's on a machine. He's on a respirator. So the respirator is blowing in oxygen into his lungs, and the oxygen is still being circulated through the blood system, and it's keeping alive all the cells in the body. But that's what they insist, that in order to be considered alive, you have to have the ability to breathe on your own. If you don't have the ability to breathe on your own, then you're not considered alive. That's very questionable. The Gemara says, if you're breathing, you're alive. Not breathing, you're dead. Who says it has to be breathing on your own? Let's say a person was in an accident, and they take him to the hospital, and he's not able to breathe, so they put him on a respirator for a couple of days, then he comes to. So then he'll be revived. So he doesn't have the ability to breathe on his own. He was in an accident, doesn't have the ability. So you're going to say he's dead? So what are we wasting our time? And then when we save his life, we say we did a Tchias HaMeis, and we didn't do a Tchias HaMeis. We say he was never dead in the first place. So what does this pasuk tell us? The Gemara is saying, if he's not breathing, he's dead. Furthermore, the Rambam writes in the Mor and the Buchim, the Rambam is not talking about halacha, the Rambam is writing Mor and the Buchim, has all kinds of discussions. So he said, he quotes from Galen. Galen was a doctor. So Galen wrote a whole book on medicine. The Rambam quotes a lot from Galen. So Galen records that there was an instance that a person stopped breathing for 3 days, mamish wasn't breathing, and then he came to later. Whether it's really true or not, we're not sure, but the Rambam quotes such a thing. So that's the shaila. How can you say that breathing is the sole factor that determines whether a person is alive or dead? So how does the Chevra Kadisha know when to bury the patient? Don't know. In Europe, they passed laws, and some of the countries still have the laws, that you shouldn't bury anybody until 72 hours after the doctor signed the death certificate, because they realized they were making mistakes. In the 1800s, they realized they were signing a death certificate for people who were still alive. So Mendelssohn, Moshe Mendelssohn, recommended that we should go along. We have it in Kovetik Barana Bayamahu. You're supposed to bury on the same day, Lachatchila. And even if you can't bury Bayomahu before the Shkiyah, you should try to bury before Los HaShachar. The Solon, Nivlos HaLhaitz, that is in Halona. Halona is Los HaShachar. Kavetik Berenim Bayomahu, the essay is Lachatchila to bury before the Shkiyah. Las Helener Lechvodah, unless you want to notify more people will come to the funeral. Years ago, they didn't have telephones, so how are they going to notify more people? They live in a little village, everybody knows, in a half an hour, everybody knows, so they'll all come to the funeral. Now, usually, they notify people. They come from Arba Kampas Haaretz. They come from all over to a funeral. So it's very rare today that you bury Kovetik Brenna by Yom Ahu. And that says in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Helener Lechvodo, that you ain't over all of. So you're not in violation of anything. If you do it, Lekovet Ameis, it's Mutah.
You don't wait 3 days.
Sometimes you have no prayer, you got to wait 3 days. Sometimes, let's say, you got to take a Meis Teretz Yisrael. Takes sometimes 1 or 3 days. So normally there should be a mitzvah, Kovetik Barana Bayomu, to bury before the Shkia. And if you can't, let's say the guy died Balayla, can you say bury before Shkia? So you should bury Lachatchila before Alos HaShachar. Unless you just can. Unless there's a union, and they don't let you bury, or there's a union strike, or whatever. If you have some reason, you want to notify more people to come. So the Shaila was then, should the Jewish community follow the government regulation not to bury until 72 hours go by since the signing of the death certificate, because they realized that doctors were making mistakes. They were signing on people who were still alive. Every so often they have such an article in the National Enquirer, very reliable source. So they'll have an article written up on the front page, of course, the startling news that they were having a funeral service for someone in a church, and the galach was delivering hesped, and the guy wakes up and he said, "What do you mean hesped? I'm still here." Or the Maseches Smochos, which is from the Gaonim, tells a story that someone went to visit the Beis HaKvaros, to visit the kever of a mishpacha, and then he heard someone knocking on the door, "Let me out of here, they locked me in." A person was buried in a vault. They used to have kuchen, they used to have vaults, they used to have a big house, and they used to lock it up that vandals shouldn't come and start up, but they locked it so the mason couldn't come out. So there was someone who was buried by mistake, and he was really alive. So he was banging on the doors, "Let me out of here." So they saved his life. So you see, not only from the National Enquirer, you see from the Maseches Smochos also, that such a thing is gemot. So that was Mendelssohn's Taina. You see from the Talmud, from Maseches Smochos, not the Talmud, from the Gaonim, and you see from European countries that they said they're afraid the doctors are making a mistake. So maybe it's a Sofik Sakonis Nefoshes, Sofik Pikoch Nefesh, that we should be Mevater on the din of Kavati Berena Bayamahu because of the Sofik Sakonis Nefoshes. So that's what Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Chayes sent the Shaila to the Chasam Sofer. Tzvi Hirsch Chayes had a lot of modern Balabatim in his community. He was in Zalkava. That's a city in Galicia, I think. So he had a lot of modern Balabatim. So he raised the Shaila. He sent this Shaila to the Chasam Sofer. So Chasam Sofer sends him back a response. Almost all of the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer have the name of the person to whom the tshuva was sent. This is one of the few. There are less than 10, maybe less than 5 tshuvas where there's no name. The reason why there's no name is because he writes in the tshuva, "Something wrong with you? You are not Bikiris?" So he didn't want to be Mevazim, so he left out his name. But Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes was very proud of his correspondence with the Chasam Sofer, so he printed a separate sefer, "My Correspondence with the Chasam Sofer." So he has his letter that he sent, and then he has the letter that the Chasam Sofer sent back. It's word for word what appears in the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. And you can tell that was sent to him. It's not a fraud, because every paragraph in Chasam Sofer's tshuva corresponds to every paragraph in his shaila. All of a sudden, Chasam Sofer starts talking about a Mor Nevuchim, that the Mor Nevuchim quotes from Galen that they had a person who wasn't breathing for 3 days. Where did he get that from? Because that was the shaila that Tzvi Hirsch Chayes sent him. That since the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, Sagemolt, that the person will not be breathing for 3 days, so not breathing doesn't necessarily prove that he's dead. V'haraya, the medical books have on record that such a thing happened. So that's the shaila. How do we? What is our practice? Our practice is when a person dies. So maybe he really didn't die. He stopped breathing. How long does he have to stop breathing that he have a right to assume that he's dead? So Sam Shulchan Aruch, 15-20 minutes, maximum a half an hour. If the man is not breathing 15-20 minutes, half an hour, then the Chevah Hadish takes over. They do the tara and they bury him. So how do you do that? Maybe he just stopped breathing for a short period of time. Maybe he's going to come back. So the truth of the matter, you can see that the body starts turning a different color and it's cold. The body is not warm anymore. You can tell. You can tell that the guy's dead. But that's the Shaila and Din. How do you... This pasuk that you learned on Kol Shanishmos, Ruach Haim Biapam, this is a real drasha from a pasuk. So the Chasam Sofer thinks that it's only an asmachta. He thinks the whole drasha is an asmachta. Where did he get this information from? That if a person stopped breathing for half an hour or 20 minutes, you have the right to assume that he's dead and the body is cold and the body is turning colors. He says they got it from the doctors. He doesn't think that it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. He said they probably got it from the doctors of their generation. That's how they determined. And then they made an asmachta based on the pasuk. So that's the question to say today, that a person is on a respirator and they're pushing in oxygen into his lungs, and then the oxygen is being distributed around the whole body with the blood circulation, and all the cells are kept alive because of the oxygen. So how can you say it's Akzeris HaKosuv, that if he's not breathing on his own, he's not alive? The Chasam Sofer thinks the whole thing is an asmachta. It's not necessarily what the halach is. That's the shaila. What is the definition of life and death? What is the definition? So that's the pashtus. There are many other gemaras where the gemara seems to assume Ki hadam hu anefesh. That's a pasuk in Chumash. Ki hadam hu anefesh. The din is that if you cause bleeding on Shabbos, that's a malacha. If you cut, let's say a person wants to take blood on Shabbos. See, if you have to do a medical procedure because of a suffix, you have to be a mechal Shabbos. But let's say stam. A person can donate blood on Shabbos or the weekdays. To take out blood is considered a malacha. Or to cause an animal to bleed is considered a malacha. Which one? There are 39 malachas. Chavala. Which chavala is not on the list of the malachas. So there are many different opinions in the Rishonim. What malacha is it when you cause an animal to bleed? So the Tosfos opinion is, and that's what the Rishalmi says like that, Tosfos opinion is that if you cause bleeding in an animal, it's a violation of the malacha of Sheichet. Because Sheichet doesn't really mean Sheichet. Sheichet is what we call Netilas Neshama. So Tosfos fragt Akasha, if you kill an animal, that's Netilas Neshama, it's dead. But if you just cause a little bleeding, where's the Netilas Neshama? The animal is still alive. So Tosfos says, Eloshen, ki hadam hu anefesh. The dam represents the life. The blood circulation is what keeps the animal alive. If you would have killed the whole organism, that would have been a tilus neshama. So if you take out a little blood, this blood is considered dead blood. And the blood is what keeps the animal alive. The blood circulation is what keeps the animal alive. That's what it says in Chumash. So that's what the Gemara has in quite a few places. That the determination of whether any animal is alive or dead is when the blood is circulating. That's why Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. We must have discussed it more than once. Someone asked Rav Moshe, there was a big machlekes years ago, 60 years ago. If a person is paralyzed on the left side and he has no use of his arm, is a yotze tefillin if he puts the tefillin on his left arm? So there was a big pilpul years ago. So Rav Moshe writes, absolutely yes. He knows the answer. How does he know? He writes that my father had a stroke a half a year before he died. His father was a Talmud Chacham. And his father had lost the use of his left side of his body and he kept on wearing tefillin every day. So that's a raya, that's the din. Had my father know? So Rav Moshe explains based on Gemaras. So he says, if the left arm would develop gangrene, that there's no blood circulating at all, then he quotes a Gemara in Chorus, if there's no blood circulating, that's called dead. So he said, you can't be yotze tefillin on a dead arm. But he says, if the left side of the body is paralyzed, means that the nervous system doesn't function, but the blood is still circulating. So the blood is circulating, so it's considered alive. And he says, this is the definition of alive or dead on an organ. You want to know, is the left arm, he assumes he can't be yotze tefillin on a dead arm. So if the arm no longer has blood circulating, then you're not yotze tefillin. Then you have to someone has to put the tefillin. It's considered as if you only have one arm, and someone has to put the tefillin on the right arm. But if the left arm still has blood circulating, it's not gangrenous. The only thing is that it's paralyzed. So he said, that's a live arm. So a live arm, you yotze tefillin on the arm. So that's the pashtus is that when the blood stops circulating, that's called death. When the blood is still circulating, blood is circulating where? That's a shalom, blood is circulating where? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has another tshuva, where he talks about, one of the rabbonim was discussing how do you determine the moment of death. One of the rabbonim said, let's say, what do you do? You call, you make a trach over here. So the person can't breathe through the nose, he breathes through over here. So one of the rabbonim said, he's not kol hashan nishmas ruach chayim biyapov. If he's not breathing through his nose, so he's dead. So Moshe writes, what are you, crazy? But the nose is an evesh haneshama kliyabo. So Rav Moshe writes a loshen, it doesn't depend on the nose, it depends on vital organs. The nose is nishkin vital organ. The lungs are a vital organ. The kidney, the liver, the whole, there are a list of vital organs. So if the definition of life and death is whether there's blood circulating to the vital organs or not. If the legs are gangrenous, the hands are gangrenous, whatever, so that's not a vital organ, so the person is still alive. But if the vital organs, all of the vital organs no longer have any blood circulating, the oxygen to them, so then the organism is dead. Okay, the shaila is, do you need all the vital organs to be dead? Or is it enough if one of them is dead? Or do you need roiv? Roiv of them are dead. And then the shaila is, so das steht nicht, we don't know. And then the question is further, how many vital organs are there? So the way the Rambam has in the Mishnais and different Mesichtas, the Rambam only has three vital organs. In the Gemara, only three vital organs. He has the brain and the heart and the kidneys. That's all. The Rambam doesn't mention the lungs. There are other vital organs. Yeah, there are other, the liver, there are other vital organs. Ram does mention, so that's unclear whether the Rama meant Al-Pidin, the halacha only recognizes three vital organs, and you have to have either all three vital organs dead, or one of them is dead, or the rive of them should be dead. But the Rambam just ungechapt, whenever the Gemara talks about vital organs, the Rambam always has the gears to only these three. Kaved, he has, not the kidney, he has kaved, the liver, and the lave, and the head. These are the only three. So that's the question, did he mean only those three? Or did he mean the chulei, so lav davke? And then the question is, how many of the vital organs have to be dead? So I would have said, if one of them is dead, sein gestorb, you need all the vital organs to be alive. Or you could say you need all the vital organs to be dead, that it should be considered dead. You say ruba kukula. So it's very unclear. The whole topic is really up in the air. There aren't any rayas. This, the makkah that they quoted from this pasuk, that's a little bit of a joke. To say that you need davke, independent breathing. Ve'ezok, you need independent breathing. It's not mukhrach at all.
The heart is the place that should be the source of life to the
whole
organs.
Yep.
The heart is most important.
Right. So the heart is considered one of the vital organs. The heart is considered one of the vital organs. See, some philosophers thought that since by a human being, the difference between a human being and a behemoth is the seichel, so once the brain is dead, so the whole human being is considered dead. But that we don't find in halacha, that there should be a difference between the definition of death by a human being. It's an interesting philosophical idea. But in halacha, you don't have like that. The Mishnah seem to give the same definition of death by animals as by human beings. So the fact that the mind is the unique feature of the human being doesn't seem to play a role as far as...
I forgot your name.
Rabbi Tendler. Yeah. How can you forget Rabbi Tendler?
What is he saying?
He has his opinion. Okay. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But you have to have Mekoris in Gemara for all of these opinions. That's the shot. You have to have the chorus and the gemara. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to do the avodah lefnai v'lefnim. So the pasuk says, and the Mishnayos explain it, he has to do the hazoyas four times. He has to do achas lemailo, v'sheva lemato. Achas lemailo, he dips in, let's say this is the kli shoris that has the dam, has to dip in his finger, and it goes, lemailo goes like this. And lemato, he dips in each time, it goes like that. That's called lemato, and that's called lemailo. Which way you throw it. And then the Gemara learns out from the pasuk that you shouldn't count 1, 2, 3 to 8. You should count 1 and 7 separate. Achas lamayla v'sheva lamata should be counted separately. So the Gemara quotes what seems to be a machlokes satanoim. When he's counting, so he says, achas, achas v'achas, then how does he count next? Achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholosh, that's how it says in our machzer. Or does he say, no, achas, achas v'achas, shtayim v'achas, sholosh v'achas, arba v'achas. Machlekes hatanoim. So the Gemara says in Vosh Bashtetim Machlekes, what are they fighting about? So the Gemara says in Yuma, Marki Asrei, or Marki Asrei. The different tanoim came from different parts of Eretz Yisrael. And the rule is, when you have to fulfill a mitzvah bedibur, here the Kohen Gadol has to count. One, and it has to count 1 to 7. So the Hidur mitzvah is to fulfill the mitzvah of counting in the most mehudadika way. You should speak in grammatically correct sentences. And it should be lifiyofi hasignon, the way it's more correct. So in your part of the world, how do they count? Let's say yesterday in Sfiras Yomim was the 21st day. So the Magen Avraham says, up until 21, there's no shayla. So the shayla is when you count, the Magen Avraham says, when you count 21, do you say esrim ve'echad yomim, or do you say echad ve'esrim yom? So the Magen Avraham writes, v'red nechala yiddish, in Yiddish, sagt man doch 21. You don't say 20 in it. So the Gemara says, Marki Asrei and Marki Asrei. So the Fiyoifi Hasignon, in Chumash you have both ways. In Chumash you have both ways. Most of the time you have the smaller number first. In the Vim Ksuvim you have both ways. And most of the time you have the larger number first. But you have both ways. In Chumash and in. So you can't see it, follow Tanakh. In Tanakh is both ways. In Chumash, most of the time the smaller number is first. And the Nevi'im Maksuv, most of the time, the larger number is first. So what's the rule? So the Mogen Avraham says, the Gemara gives you the rule, Marki Asrei, or Marki Asrei. So nu heint azmeret nishken Yiddish. Everybody in America talks English. And in modern Hebrew, how do you say? You don't say 1 and 20. In modern English, nobody, in ancient English, they used to say 1 and 20. In modern English, you say 21. So that based on the Mogen Avraham, based on the Gemara, you really should sell Sphira. You should have said yesterday, instead of saying Echad v'Yesmin, you really said Esmin v'Yechad. So somebody, based on that Gemara in Yuma, that's what it says by Avodas Yom Kippur, Marki Asrei, each one follows the Minhag HaMokim, and the Hida Mitzvah is, it's a Hida Mitzvah. You should count Kefi Yofi HaSignon, Bosa Mokim, or Bosa Zman, the way you speak the language that's spoken. So someone published a Maimer about this, last year, the Yeshiva Shalavim took over the publication of Hamayan. The Poel Aguda, for many years, had a publication where they published a little Divrei Torah, and they used to publish history and Hashkofe, and interesting essays, Chochmas Yisrael Dike essays. So now the Yeshiva Shalavim took it over. So last year, someone published an essay, and he quotes all the Marma Kaimas, based on the Gemara. You should really count Sphira Faket. So he gives you a list of some of the, he claims, prominent Rabbanim. Amon Amorz, I never heard of these Rabbanim. I never heard of their names. He gives you a list of five or six Rabbanim who count the other way. But I never heard of them. But really, the Pashtus says that it should be like that. It's a Pella. Why we keep on counting backwards?
That's way in the Siddur.
So the publisher, the one who printed the Siddur. But the Siddur did it because the Mogen Avraham said so. Mogen Avraham says because Mered Nachala Yiddish. But we should really be on our toes. We have to get all the Rabbanim from all the world together. We have to tell the Art Scroll to publish this if I can.
For all practical purposes, it doesn't matter.
Huh?
For all practical purposes, it doesn't matter.
But still, it's a Hida Mitzvah to say Kefi Yofi L'chatchila. The Yevet, of course, he heard. But L'chatchila should be said in a more correct fashion.
What does that Moshe say?
He holds from the brain death.
What?
He holds from the brain death.
Brain dead.
Brain.
Yeah. He doesn't really have a good rise and all.